Thank you. Amen. This morning when we were in the prayer meeting, I saw a picture of somebody as we were praying. We were sort of talking about it was a bit of a hard morning for some of us just getting here and worshipping, and well, things weren't flowing, and we were really pressing in prayer, and we were pressing in prayer. I saw someone on the ground and they were kissing the ground, and is in worship, but not to God, to a thing, like a religious type of thing, that you humble yourself and you prostrate yourself, kind of a thing. And then in worship, and after the second song, during the second song, I looked up and I saw a square of amazing, amazing crystals. Amazing. They were blue and all shades of blue, and they were sparkly and they were up. And some people are looking down for their answers, but your answer is up. And I knew that all we have to do is reach up. Reach up. Quit looking down. Quit looking down and prostrating in the way that the world says we should do religion or church. Start looking up. Looking up, because the answers are there. All you have to do is ride up on the praise and pluck your crystal. How cool is that? We're going to talk today on a subject very close to my heart: healing, hope, and finding faith. Do you have dreams or promises in God that are currently unfulfilled? No, we've all got our promises fulfilled. Good. Have you ever prayed for a specific thing or an outcome, or people you know who don't love God anymore, who used to, and seen no positive results, or nothing that you can really see as a positive result? This can actually lead to, I'm sure not for any of you, but this can actually lead to disappointment and discouragement, and ultimately, to hope that is damaged. If you struggle with disappointment when you have prayed for something that hasn't come through, it's like doubly, doubly hard to go back and try and pray again. So disappointment leads to unbelief. Unbelief, God does not respond to unbelief. A while ago, I felt like God was asking me to pray for a specific thing, a particular dream I had a desire for, and I felt that God had given us a prophetic word that this was going to happen for us. And I committed myself to doing just that, praying for the specific thing. It was an item. But then I found I was really struggling to pray for it. It's like, because I'd had a no and a rejection before. So I would go, God, you told me to pray, but every time I started to pray, I would burst out crying. And I realized that I couldn't pray because I didn't have faith to pray for, yet I thought God was telling me to pray for it. And he probably was, because here I found myself with an issue that I didn't know I had. So I set about to find some answers, and upstairs in my office I've got a whiteboard, and I had a whiteboard. It was absolutely chock full of scriptures that I wrote down one afternoon on hope and faith, and I mapped out them out on my whiteboard. I wrote down what I was finding. I must have had about 50 or 60 scriptures. I didn't write them all out. I wrote the essence of them out and how many of them were saying that essence, that main thought. And they sat there until last year when I wiped them off, and I just would look on my board. Just sit there and look at the board sometimes, and I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's really, really good. And I've just for years looked at it. At the time that I was going through this and wrote all these scriptures up on my board, I tried to share with another church leader in this church what it was I had found, and it was refuted and refused. It was interesting. So I actually shied away from sharing it. How bad is that? Because I can now see that that person had a damaged hope. It's not one of our current leaders, by the way. It should have actually highlighted to me that many people, even leaders, have damaged hope. many people, are just like me, struggling with what God is saying over their lives and really discouraged when you're praying for things that just don't come to pass. Many of you might have started down a pathway of prayer for a prodigal, a dream, a prophetic word, not receiving results, and you've given up. But the problem is that it can affect the way we pray for anything. If you struggle, then we've got to actually ask the Lord for healing. Because let's take healing, for example. If you pray for healing, and despite your best prayer, have no results, I've seen people have stopped trying to even pray for healing. I've actually heard very mature Christians say, it doesn't work. And that said, but here we are at Christmas time. And one of the main words we use at Christmas time? Hope. We're in a season of hope, but if our hope is broken, how can we give hope in a season of hope? So if our hope is damaged, how can we carry that message of hope to our community? So part of our sabbatical journey, which we've just returned from for myself, has been an answer to prayer which stemmed from renewed hope. Isn't that cool? I think it's really cool. And there's so much underneath with our sabbatical that's actually hard sometimes to tell unless you actually go quite deep and intimate, which we're going to do today. Luke 18:8. So one of the first scriptures that I looked at says was Luke 18:8, and it says, I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? And that's a really interesting scripture, isn't it? Because it always confounds me. What do you mean, God? What do you mean? Who, if you come, will you find faith on the earth? But I can see quite clearly, even from some of the negative stuff that's come to myself before bringing this message to you today, that the enemy is very much out there trying really hard to give you all the disappointment that you can and tell you that it doesn't work, so that your hope is damaged, so that you can't multiply faith. And the next verse, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith brings, this is the Passion Translation, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I get from the scripture that hope is a very, very important ingredient to faith. You cannot say, I'm just going to miss the hope stuff out and I'm just going to go straight to faith. It doesn't work. You have to have hope. You can't say, well, my hope's damaged, but I have faith for this. Well, that's a lie we tell ourselves to prop ourselves up because we want to make ourselves feel better. Well, I'm just talking about myself, maybe. James 5:16 says this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. I don't know what that's got to do with it. Okay, next part. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And when my hope was damaged, I would pray and I would not see great results. Now, if we are praying for stuff and we're not seeing results, and we consider ourselves we are righteous, well, there's something wrong. So we have to go back, and it's all there in the verse. If you're not seeing answers to your prayers, go and do the first part of this verse, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Which means we have to be authentic. We talked last week about being authentic. We're going to keep talking about being authentic. You can't go to your brother and sister and confess sins unless you're being authentic. And this is what I would do if I didn't know what was wrong with myself and probably what I've done. I can't exactly remember because this has been a year's journey, not last year journey. Years and years I've been working on this. It's like, well, something is wrong if I can't pray for somebody and see that they're being healed. So therefore, there must be something in my belief system I don't understand is there that needs to be shifted. help me find out what it is. Would you pray for me? So he asked me to pray for a specific thing, which I actually had felt he had closed a door on, and I struggled. So he says, this particular thing that I wanted, I felt like he shut the door on it, and he says, pray for it. And I had been going through this journey of accepting that that was a no answer. Every time I tried to pray, I'd cry. And then I came to recognize that I had disappointment and discouragement. So I had to repent from discouragement and disappointment. Look, if God says to you to believe in something, you don't believe it, it's your job to line yourself up with the promise, not his. It's your job to figure it out and then realign yourself. I've done that one. Hebrews 6:19. We've got quite a few scriptures because there's quite a few scriptures that say the same thing, and I want to prove it to you. I haven't put the 200 or something that I have looked at. So Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hope is an anchor. Well, if you have thought that hope was this weak and wishy-washy thing before faith happens, it's sort of vague and out there, I have to tell you that hope is not that. Hope is an anchor. Hope is something that is so strong and so secure that you can hang on to hope and be saved. And it will lead you through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. That's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever thought of hope being an anchor? Well, apart from you've read this verse before, this is not an unfamiliar verse, but have you really thought about it? What's your hope look like? Does your hope line up with being an anchor? What are you hoping for right now? Let's just take a minute out. What are you hoping in God for? There'll be some things that you can say, yep, my hope in God's an anchor for that. If you're anything like me, it's like, well, I'm hoping for this and I'm hoping for that, and it all seems way too big, but the hopes are aligned with the prophetic words of where I know God is taking us and saying over and over and over and over again to Wayne and I just can't see how it will happen. But the hope is that God is true, and every other man is a lie. There's a verse that says that. Interesting. Anyway, I haven't got that verse, so we won't talk about that. I discovered when I looked at hope that hope is not positive thinking. Did you know that? Hope is not positive thinking. Hope is not positively speaking about a situation. We often confuse hope as being positive speaking. We confuse faith as being thinking positively about something. But it is not hope. Positive thinking or speaking is not hope, and it's not faith either. We can speak positively about a situation and underneath not believe a word we've just said, right? Yeah, because that's what you're supposed to do. Positive speaking and positive thinking can lead to a lack of authenticity if we're not careful. We have to learn how to remain authentic and true to ourselves and true to our heart. Otherwise, we could have more disappointments. Good to be positive, but we need to be like David was with positivity. He was real with where he was at in the circumstances. And let's have a look in Psalm 42 as a good example of being positive and authentic. Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts, pants and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night my tears keep falling, and my heart keeps crying for your help, while my enemies mock over me over and over, saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak over my heartbroken soul, like we were doing in worship today. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front, leading the procession of praise with the great crowd of worshippers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord? You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitudes of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. So then my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Saviour. For no matter what, I will sing with praise, for living before his face is my saving grace. Here I am, depressed and downcast, being honest and authentic. Yet, with hope, I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. My deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. Your waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering cataract. Now, it's not an eye cataract. I asked someone about this, and it's actually a channel that the water just really comes over strongly. So if you imagine at the top of the waterfall comes down into a V and it comes over that, that's what a cataract is. So that's quite a lot. That's really powerful sorrow, isn't it? Tears. I haven't studied this any further to get any more insight. Yet all day long, God's promises of love pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs, for my prayer to God has become my life. That's all we have, is the prayer to God. How cool is that? Been there, still there. I will say to God, you are my mountain of strength. How could you forget me? Why must I suffer this vile oppression? Da da da. The wounding words pierce my heart. They say, where is this God of yours? It's like, I don't know. So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. For I know that my God will break through for me. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, the living before his face is my saving grace. So you see, this is a real authentic cry, can't you? Can you see the hope in there? That's hope. That's what hope looks like. That's what being authentic looks like. This is my situation. This is exactly what it looks like. Yet I will praise you. Hope 6:19, we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding to our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Think of that. Think of an anchor. Think of you and your situation where you've struggled to pray and believe. Think of that line of anchor. That anchor that holds you to what? Holds you to what? Holds me to the promises of God and what God has said. What are the promises of God? Do you have a promise of God for this thing that you've been praying for and seen no results? Do you have a promise? Get one if you don't. Go to the Word of God and get one. If it's about prodigal children, go to the Word of God and it says in somewhere, Isaiah somewhere, about all your children being taught of the Lord. That's my anchor. And I pray that and I declare that over my protocol. Anyway, Romans 5:5 says, this is the crutch of the matter for me. Romans 5:5 says, this hope will not lead to disappointment. What do you mean? I've hoped. When I was sharing all those years ago, this was the scripture that my friend had a fit at. What do you mean? I've hoped and I've been disappointed. Mm-hmm. I've hoped in my own self as well and been disappointed. And I think that we've, you know, hopes, I've struggled with hope, to be honest, until this lovely thing that I've gone through. I've struggled to hope for things and I've tried to have faith for things. I mean, who's tried to have faith for things before and it's like gone flat on the face? Because you've had faith. Look, this is what I was taught to faith was. When you come up to prayer, to the healing line for prayer, for healing, then what you have to do is you have to believe. And we've had preachers come and tell us, now come on, you believe. God won't heal you unless you've believed. We've had people come away from the altar call and preachers and say, it's because you didn't believe. So we've gone, I believe. Shakabanda, shakakianda, shaha. Well, that's not believing. In fact, that's getting in the way, to be honest, when we do that. Like, and I'll tell you why. We're coming to it. Hope that has become a disappointment is hard, is difficult. And Proverbs 3:13-12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. So when you are disappointed and you've hoped, I do that because we think we're hoping, but we're not. We've hoped and it doesn't come to pass, we get sick, right? So I had damaged hope, I had sick hope. Proverbs 13:12 says it again. When hope's dream seems to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. But when your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. And it's so good, you know? Who's had that feeling? Let's try and remember that feeling of when we prayed for something that we hoped for and it came to pass. And we're like, yay! What about that time you prayed for someone for healing, for headache or whatever, and it went, oh gosh, the headache went. What Virginia sharing her testimony is like, oh yes. Let's remember that feeling. We've got to remember that feeling because when you are struggling, you need the feeling to urge you on. But you know, I'm going to keep hanging on to my anchor. So it says, where are we? Probably there. Romans 15:13 says, we've got a few here in a row. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a good promise, isn't it, when we overcome, that we're going to overflow with confident hope. That's cool, but we're still not there yet. But it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, God is the source of my hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is the source of my hope. Psalms 42:5 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, and ... I need to hope in God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to hope in God. Psalm 31:24 says, so be strong and courageous, all who put your hope in the Lord. I need to hope in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I need to hope in the Lord. These things aren't unfamiliar. Who's heard all these words? Have we got Psalm 130 verse 5? It says, this is why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough, for your word brings me hope. The word of God brings me hope. Tell your neighbor and say, I need to read the Bible. If you want hope, you need to read the word of God. How many read their word of God every day? And I shouldn't make you put your hands up, should I? I don't want to shame you. Put your hand up internally if you read. Lamentations 3:24. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. Ah, right. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what will I do? My hope is in you. And then years ago we had the song, my hope is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my... Okay. I'm starting to get a picture here, are you? What? Where do we find hope? In God. In God. Right? That makes sense because if hope is my anchor, if I'm hoping in God, God's my anchor. Right? That makes sense now. Hope doesn't disappoint because he's my hope. Jesus is my hope. If I'm hoping in Jesus, I can't be disappointed, right? Because Jesus isn't going to disappoint me. Is that right? Well, you're... Some of you are not sure about that because you've probably been a bit disappointed. But anyway, there's a rationale behind this. I'll just skip through those. The penny started to drop because I was praying for results and I was seeing hope as a result. So when I was praying, I was putting up the result here and projecting it is hope. Hope is not the result. Okay? Hope is not the result. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope, not the result. I've had some pretty sucky results. So that's why I was disappointed. If you come to church and you think that everybody who comes to church is a perfect, we'll get disappointed. I need to hope in Christ. When I pray, I need to hope in Christ. So I've had some situations recently, and I started to do this with my prayers. It's like, okay, I'm not going to project a result. Now I've got this problem. I'm going to go, Lord, and I bring him here. So I'm face to face. Right now I'm praying to him because he is my hope. God, this is the issue. I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you and I need your help. You're my hope in this. You're my hope, God. I don't know what to do. This is a situation. I've got no idea. I think that maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that, but I'm not sure. God, you're my hope. Help me. When my mum got sick and we needed to shift her, it was like, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. Something needs to happen. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he said, do this. Do one thing at a time, Nikki. Just do what's in front of you. Okay. She needs to shift. Talk to everybody. Yeah, let's shift to Leeston. What do you think, Mum? Oh, well, you're good. Oh, okay, we'll come to Leeston. Well, oh, I don't know. Need to stay in Wanaka. Okay. How about we just have a look at some houses while we're here? All right. Buy me that one. And it just went bang, 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 until she finally went to be with Jesus. Every time I had no idea how that was all going to work out. It was just all a big up in the air. But I hoped in God, and he didn't disappoint. He didn't disappoint. Doesn't mean it wasn't hard. It doesn't mean it was easy and a trouble-free process. But I know now my hope has built up to a point where I can trust in circumstances that are less than easy and that his outcome will come along. So what I did when I started to understand that I'm hoping in the wrong place, I'm hoping for outcomes, and I actually hear lots and lots of people praying for an expected outcome. I hear it a lot, and I'm going, I wish you could just go, Lord Jesus, what would you do? And we can present our thoughts, but then we've still got to bring him here, close. Jesus, nevertheless, not my will be done. Like Mary did, not my will be done, but yours be done. I want to do what you want me to do. Sometimes, what if God wants to open up a different door than what you can see? We just don't know. We don't know. He loves our honesty, and he can handle it. Do you know, he loves it when we say, you know, God, I'm really tired from serving. I'm really tired from doing the things that I know you've called me to do, but it's a bit hard right now. Every time I come to him with that, he can pour in, you know. Every time when I'm going to go to a music meeting or whatever meeting there is at night, it's like, oh, I have to go to a prayer meeting or... Oh, Wayne, I don't know, we've got a cell group. Oh, I don't want to go to this meeting. And I go, and I have a blast. It's been the last thing I want to do. And he just pours in. He pours in. If you're pouring out, he pours in. And he becomes your hope. If we are praying, this is a good song. If we're praying an answer to a situation that's actually not God's will, especially when other people are concerned, that prayer can become as witchcraft. you know, God, what this person needs to do, blah, 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 blah. It actually can be more damaging than helpful. But if we were to take the same situation, the same problem, and say, God, this is a problem to me. Lord, show me. Show me your will in this situation. Show me what you'd have me to do. It's a problem. Help me to get over it. Help me to get around it. Whatever the way, open up that door for me, God. Help. And sometimes I need to change. Sometimes the situation changes. We don't have to pray what we feel the answer is. Prayers which are prayed from Scripture are very powerful. Very, very powerful. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, for the sake of this ministry, we toil tirelessly and are criticized continually simply because our hope is in the living God. He is the wonderful life giver of all the children of men, even more so to those who believe. I don't know why I've put that in there. Because our hope is in the living God. It's not in being criticized, not in the ministry, it's not in what we're doing. It's in that He is here doing something awesome through us. I don't know why I've put that link to that from prayers that which are prayed is from Scripture very powerful. Yeah, Matthew 21:21 is the one. Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faithfulness, then you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown to the sea and it will be done. Well, it was really interesting when we were on safari. On our last 2 days in the Serengeti and Ngorongoro crater, because after our first day on safari, we'd seen, you know, 7 cheetahs and a lioness and untold wildebeest and water buffalo, everything really quite close, giraffes, hadn't seen elephants at that point. But we'd seen 3 of the big 5 on our first day, and we're coming out of the game park and our tour guide says, oh, that was a really good day. It was a really good viewing day. Well, he didn't know that I'd been praying the entire day. It's like, oh, God, I want to see this. I want to see that. Oh, show us. And I said, oh, was it? Because I thought it was not that great. He said, well, yes, it was. You can drive around these places, these parks, and see virtually nothing. They are vast. They're really big, some of these game parks. And I went, okay, that's not going to happen. So I was praying, right? I was praying, and I saw one of our guys in our bus. He's done heaps of game parks and other tours around Africa, and he's done from South Africa up to Vic Falls, and now he's doing the top part. So from, you know, the part we were doing, because between Tanzania and Vic Falls is a lot of travel. So he didn't want to do that, so he did this one last year, and he's doing this one this year. He said to me, so he's, you know, used to going around game parks. He says to me, no, it's not really a viewing if you have to use your Zoom, basically, you know, if they're a long way away. I consider it's a viewing if they've walked across the road. Okay, all right then. Thank you, God, today that we'll see these animals on the road. So the last 2 days, that's why I was praying. God, we want to see a leopard in a tree right beside the road. It'd be really cool if he had a kill. I really want to see an animal in action. Oh, God, I really would like to see one, you know, doing a kill or something like that. And I want to see a family of lions, and I want to see this. Can we please see these things, Lord? This would be amazing if we could just see these things and prove to these people that you really are God. It's so cool. And I was so determined we're going to see this stuff, and I'm just praying. I'm like, okay, what's the difference? You're telling God what to do. No, I'm looking to Him. I'm looking to Him. Please, can we see these things? Please. You know, I'd just love to see these things. Well, I have to tell you this part. On our last day, so we stay overnight in the Serengeti, we're quite warned, don't get out of the tent if you need to get up and pee in the night, unless you want to become Lion Tucker. Yeah, well, that was an interesting night. Anyway, we're quite close, aren't we? They were told if they had to get up and pee, they had to pee right by their tent. Oh, I think I heard 5 people. Anyway, so we're just heading out the road. we're just heading out the road and there's all these water buffalo. So on our tour, the tour is now 19. Previously in Masai Mara we were 5. So our 19 hadn't seen water buffalo. So we stopped here to look at the water buffalo and they were just walking past. There was a whole heap of them and they were just walking past and some of them were saying, oh, I wish you would just stop and look at us. So I says, oi, Mr. Water Buffalo, stop. And he stopped. I says, look at us, over here. And he went, I said, no, over here, look at us. And he turned and looked right at me. And they were like, oh, whoa, Nikki, you're a bit of an animal whisperer. And I really got a cool shot. Actually, go right through and find Mr. Water Buffalo. He's right at the end there somewhere. That's Mr. Cheetah. This is the cheetah who we watched kill a gazelle. 10 minutes after we arrived. It was really cool. This is the water buffalo who looked at us when I told him to. It was really uncanny. And the next thing that I wanted to see was, what's the next picture? Okay, go backwards. Go backwards. Is that all? The elephants. So we walked past, we drove past these elephants, right, and they were reasonably close, but like I really wanted, there's a whole family, a whole group of them. I wanted to see them on the road, right beside us on the road. Anyway, they were down nearby the river and we couldn't get to them, so we carried on and we were leaving and I says, oh Lord, it'd be so good if those elephants came up to the, you know, to the road. If not tonight, maybe tomorrow morning would be really good. 2 minutes later, called on the radio. Now, driver turns around and says, where are we going? He says, the elephants have come back to the road. Like some of these things, you might say, oh, that's coincidence. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. So the next one, I also wanted to see a family of lions, like a pride. Well, this is a pride. And this is a lioness with the cubs. There was cubs from little tiny, these are little tiny baby cubs, all the way to teenagers. And they were just all hanging out by the river and the cubs were playing and we sat there for about, I don't know, 20 minutes to half an hour. Hard to tell because I wasn't watching, no one's watching their watches. And we also saw these giraffes, which are the big ones. Rothschild, are they? The big ones. One is and one isn't, I can't remember. They galloped across the road right in front of us, so we stopped and saw those. Man, they're fast. This is the leopard that we saw in the tree. This is our last of the big 5 that we saw. And we'd seen a leopard the previous day, but it was from a distance, and it didn't count according to my friend. It was too far. Couldn't get a good picture. And the final one that we saw is this big bull elephant just walking on the road towards us. And that's how close he passed. I chose this photo for you so you could see how close to, you could not quite touch him, but he was big and he was close. And like every prayer that I prayed in terms of viewing of animals happened. It was amazing. We had a good trip in terms of that. Because you should speak to the mountain, it shall be removed. It's good, isn't it? We can speak to the problems and they shall be removed. But bearing in mind, there's a balance here. We don't make up the answer. You've got to get what you know God is saying that is true for you. That's the difficult part. Often it can be cloudy and hard to know. So all I say is just look at Jesus' face. But nevertheless, not my will be done like Mary, but yours be done. Well, I'm not going to tell you all that because I haven't got time. All right. Let's stand and pray. And let's give our... If you've had disappointed hope, disappointment, and your hope feels damaged to a point where you can't... Don't feel that you can reconcile this on your own. If you would like prayer, you may come forward and I'll pray for you. Otherwise, let's just, you know, Let's reach to one another. Let's join across rows and reach to one another. Lay hands on each other. There's power in the body of Christ, right? Many of us have been here for a long time. Many of us have had seasons of not being hopeful and other seasons of having all our prayers answered. So, Lord, right now, we just impart into the atmosphere over this congregation and this people, Lord, just an atmosphere of hope. Lord, where there has been disappointment, we command those chains of disappointment to break in Jesus' name. Lord, we release, Father, Lord, encouragement, Lord, of the Holy Spirit and comfort, Lord, to come and bring healing, Father, from all of the damaged hope, all of those circumstances. We confess them to you, Lord. We say we have misunderstood, and whether it's been, for whatever reason, we've done all these things, tried to urge you to do things and prayed that you would do things. We're sorry of those things, Lord, and we come before you now and we say we don't have the answers, but you do, Lord, and we choose to look to you. We say, even in my own damaged hope in the areas of disappointment, Lord, we choose to look to you and ask that you would show us how to come again into those prayers that you have still left them there hanging, waiting for us to pray them. God, we say we won't walk away. Lord, I pray, Father, for any bitterness, Lord, that might have come in, that it didn't work. We just ask you would take that bitterness out of us right now. Holy Spirit, come like a sponge and soak that bitterness up right now, Lord. Because our answer is up, not down. Lord, we choose to lift our eyes from where does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You made these heavens. You made the earth. Lord, we think you can't solve our problems. We repent of that, Lord. We thank you and we say and we declare, Lord, that you can solve every issue that is an issue. Lord, I pray for open doors and right words. You give us the prayer we need to pray because we don't know what to pray half the time, God. Honestly, we want to pray in faith. We want to pray in strength and boldness. But God, direct us to what words to pray so that we can see the answers that you tell us that are there for us. And I pray, Father, over every person who begins to see, Lord, differently how to pray, God, that answers will break through even this week. Lord, I declare over this house, Lord, an open heaven, and that answers will come because I saw those answers today. I saw them up there in the atmosphere, ready to be plucked and pulled down. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for triumphs this week. Lord, as we reconnect with hope, as we reconnect with you who are our anchor, you don't disappoint us, God. Sometimes our own beliefs disappoint us, but you don't disappoint. And God, we hold on to you. Jesus, we hold fast to you. Lord, that your answers are always good. Your answers are always right. We choose your answers over our own. Thank you, Lord, that if we have clouds around our minds concerning our difficulties and our situations, we just thank you, Lord, for blowing those clouds away right now. Lord, and we want to see clearly what it is you have for us and how to pray in every situation. Thank you, Jesus, for coming near. Thank you, Lord, for coming near. Yes, and even for every situation that there's a frustration in a, but I don't understand, Lord, all those things we don't understand, we give to you and we lift those areas up that we don't understand. We know that you are God and you're in control. Thank you, God, for bringing us everything that we need. Lord, we know you've given us a train that's coming to us, and it has everything that we need as a church. Everything that we need is there. And we look expectantly to you, Father, that you will provide what we need for each and every one of these things that we need to have more hope for. We hope in you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless everyone, Lord. Bless everyone here. Bless their hearts, bless their families, and strengthen. Bring strength and courage at this time of year and refreshment. Lord, supernatural refreshment. We declare over this congregation in this house of God right now that there'll be a supernatural abundance of refreshment, Lord, for each and every one here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.